Good morning, everybody. I'm going to stand in the water and hope I don't wash away here or get bit by a hippo. Who's more dangerous, a hippo or an alligator? I've heard a little mix there. I'm pretty sure hippos are the most, but I need somebody to look at that up later. All right. Very good. Well, yeah, you saw it there. Over 100 kids came through our VBS this past week, and it was awesome. That was by far the most kids we've had a VBS in our building, and 60%. I know you're like, I hope I get a lot of facts and figures this morning. Well, I'll give a couple at the beginning because I think they're cool. They're worth sharing. 60% of the kids that came out to VBS were from our community. They don't already go to this church. And that's awesome. Yeah, that's great. Yep. So our kids were there, but we actually asked people, how did you find out about the VBS? There was people that just drove by and saw it on our sign. There's people that were invited by a friend, of course, or a cousin or neighbor, that kind of thing. But two of the big ways people heard about VBS, one was that our kids ministry, led by Jody Slongo, was able to get into the elementary schools around here and give out flyers three different occasions before school wrapped up. And so a lot of families heard about it from their school. It's so awesome that we had that opportunity to get in there and invite people out to church. You know, that's getting rarer and rarer. And you heard that, right? Rarer and rarer. I didn't plan on saying those words. But that was awesome. And another way that a lot of people heard who were visiting, a big percent of them, were people that live around the church in our neighborhood, families in the neighborhood that our Reach for the Streets group went out, was knocking on doors, praying for people, and sharing a flyer about our church with people. We do that every month. Every month on the third Saturday of the month at 10 o'clock, right? Yep, 10, just figured I put in a plug. Now that's why I looked at you for the confirmation, 11 o'clock, excuse me, I got mixed up. Didn't write it down. But they go out, knock on doors, say hi to our neighbors, and there was a significant amount of people. So these kinds of things, these outreaches, they're important. Let's pray for them, let's participate in them, because we're getting out and we're meeting our neighbors, and we're inviting them to come to church. That's awesome. Well, as you've heard, no doubt, the theme this week was the Jungle Cruise, and the kids were going through, they were traveling the seas, but that's a play on words. We mean the letter C. These are periods in history that begin with the letter C, and they're learning about the story of God, how he made the earth and how he's dealing with the earth, and then how he will bring everything to its appropriate and best conclusion. That's what these kids were learning about. And so what I'd like to do is I'm inducting all of you, no matter how old you are a VBS kid this morning, all right? Because we're going to finish up our final VBS lesson here together. And kids, I know you've been learning a lot all week, but I've got to do a little bit of a review for the moms and dads and other adults in here so that they can be caught up to where you guys are at on the cruise. All right, so this will be a little review for you guys. For the rest of us, this is the speedboat version of the portion of the cruise. So buckle up. We're going to go through this cruise through the seas of history. So on day one, back on Monday, if you kids can remember back that far, we visited creation. That was the first sea of history. And if you have an outline in your program, you can write these things down as we're going in. I even got the first letter done for you to help with some of the work since there's so many blanks to fill in. The first one was creation. Now, our God has no beginning. He's always existed. But this is the point where everything else began. This is the beginning for us and everything else in the universe, seen and unseen. God made the heavens and the earth, and it was good. It reads that in Genesis 1 over and over again. It was good, it was good. God is making good things. And at the pinnacle, the very tip top of God's creation, were people. People. Our first parents, Adam and Eve. Let's read about them. And you can help me when we get to some yellow print, or sometimes it'll be blue. Whatever the different color print is, that's your cue to help me. It's crazy on Kids Sunday here today. All right. So Genesis 1 reads, beginning in verse 27, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, and fill the earth and subdue it. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. God's good creation. Our great God made his very good creation. And people were created in God's image to rule over his creation. He said, fill the earth and rule over it. The word is subdue there, but rule over it, manage it. He put us in charge to stand for him and represent him in the rest of creation. And he created us to enjoy a personal relationship with him. He walked in the Garden of Eden with our first parents, Adam and Eve. But then the kids learned the next day that the waters got rough. They got rough pretty quickly. Actually, the kids learned three words that begin with C. You guys might remember it. Corruption, catastrophe, and confusion. Oh, all these scary words. I'm going to sum it up in one word this morning, and that's chaos. Chaos entered the world through sin. You see, the devil, he was disguised as a serpent. He told Adam and Eve, you can be like God. If you disobey God and eat this fruit from the tree from which God said, do not eat, he gave them one rule. The devil said, break that one rule, guys, and you can be like God. But the very sad, very tragic irony is God already created them to be like him. They were already created in God's image. By disobeying God, they became more like the devil, not more like God. It was so tragic. What a trick. And see, this rebellion was done by the people that God put in charge of all of creation for him, to stand there and represent him. And when the bosses fell, the whole creation fell. It reads like this in Romans. Paul writes this. He said, sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people. Yeah, it makes me cry too. Now, we talked about some big examples of sin's consequence. They learned about the kids learned about the flood, the Tower of Babel. But you know, the worst part about sin coming into the world, all this corruption and chaos, is that we cut ourselves off from relationship with our Creator. Nothing is worse than that. To this day, we see sin in our actions, the way we hurt ourselves and each other. We see it in our words, the way we speak to one another, and lie and make fun and bully and these kinds of things. And we even see sin in our thoughts. Maybe it doesn't come out, other people don't see it, but the things we think in our heart and our mind. Romans says it like this, and you can help me out with this one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's everybody. That includes me. That includes your mom and dad, kids, all right? We all fall short of God's standard, of God's glory, of his perfection ever since this first sin. But then we learned about how our gracious God just kept reaching out to his creation, even though his creation is rejecting him, really time after time. God keeps reaching out. And one very special, very important way we learned that God reached out to his creation was through one man in his family. His name was Abraham. Abraham. God made a covenant. That's the next C on our cruise. A covenant, which is a special promise or a contract. God made this special promise with Abraham and his family. It included being with Abraham. He started a new relationship with Abraham and his family, setting them up in a promised land, God gave them his perfect law so they would know who God is, what he's like, and how to live with him and for him. He gave that to them. And then God also, in all of this promise, he said he promised to bless the whole world through Abraham and his family, especially one day through Abraham's great, 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 lot of greats descendant, Jesus. It says it like this in Galatians. Through Jesus Christ, God has blessed the Gentiles. That's the people that are outside Abraham's biological family, his natural family. We're the Gentiles, unless you happen to be Jewish. Then you're also belong in his ethnic family as well. But he says, through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles. That's everybody. with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers, people who follow Jesus, we might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. God gave the promises to Abraham and his child, and that, of course, means Christ. Abraham's great, 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 great grandchild, Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus is the next C on our cruise. Christ, his title as Messiah, Savior, Anointed One, King. He's the Lord. You see, Jesus was indeed a descendant of Abraham, but he's also much more than just a man. He was a man. He is a man. But he's also God the Son in human flesh. We learn that Jesus showed us what God is like by coming onto this earth about 2,000 years ago. He broke into our time and space, into history, to teach us what God was like. And Jesus went to the cross. We learned about Jesus' cross, where he paid the penalty for mankind's sin against God. And then Jesus arose from the dead, bodily, powerfully, in a glorified body. Same body, but it was changed, never to die again. He proved that he beat death for everyone, every person who trusts in him as Lord and Savior. And he did it so that everybody could come back to that relationship with God. Jesus was repairing what we broke when he died on the cross for our sins. If we turn away from our sin and turn over to Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we get to have that repaired relationship with God because Jesus made it possible for us. It says it like this in probably the most famous Bible verse in the world, right? John 3:16, and now it's blueprint, which is kind of hard to tell the difference, but I think you can spot it. The kids will. The older eyes might not see the difference in the color. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, that's Jesus, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus invites all people to come back into a relationship with God the Father, with God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the one we were meant to have way back in creation. It was ruined by the chaos of our sin. It was promised to be renewed in the covenant with Abraham 2,000 years before Jesus was even born, and now here it is. Jesus made it happen. And then Jesus sends out his church. That's the next C on our list. I told you it's a little bit of a speedboat ride here at the beginning. Jesus sends out his church, another big C of history. We're in that time right now, guys. This is the part, if you're looking for yourself when you're looking through these C's, right there. It's the one that's yellow right now. Yeah, Jesus' church, we're often called the body of Christ. And we're going out into the world. It's been going on for 2,000 years. We're spreading out around the world to carry this good news about who Jesus is and what he did for us. Because that's what Jesus told us to do. This is his marching orders for his church. This is what we're still a part of today. Jesus said it like this. This is after he arose from the dead. He appeared to people showing, look, I've beat death in the grave. All authority has been given to me. And then he says this. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. What do we do with those disciples? Well, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so these are the marching orders of the church. This is for every Jesus follower. I hope every Jesus follower in this room today takes part in this great commission. I hope each one of us does in our lives, sharing the good news about Jesus to help make more followers of Jesus, and sharing about Jesus' commands and how to live with him and for him, making better followers of Jesus together. We want to be doing this all the time. All right, we are caught up in the cruise. Okay, can you believe the kids studied and looked at all of those things this week? All right, they did science experiments and fun games. You saw them running out in the parking lot with water and everything, and they always have a blast, but they're learning the most important things that they can learn. at these VBSs. They're so great. They're so great. But now you're caught up. And so for the rest of our time, we're going to slow down back to a cruise, all right, for the rest of our time. And we're going to look at the final sea of history. And when we think history, we just think past. But this sea is still to come. All right, this one is something we're looking forward to happening. But Jesus, who arose from the dead, proving that he's God and that he has the authority to teach on everything, he said these things are a guarantee. This is going to happen. Jesus talked about it in the four Gospels. It's written about in the Old Testament, especially in the prophets. There's Jesus instructions to his best friend John in Revelation. There's a whole book, the last book of the Bible, talking about this sea that we're going to look at. So what is this last word? The word is consummation. You want to write down consummation. That's a big word for VBS, isn't it? It's a very big word. If, you know what, kids? Don't feel bad if you're like, I don't know what that word means. I can't spell that word. It's a big word for adults, too. All right? So don't worry about that at all. Yeah, consummation. But what does it mean? Well, what it means is, the word means the point at which something is complete or finalized. All right? When something is brought to completion or to its finale, that is the consummation of that thing, okay? In this case, we're talking about world history. All right, when things are brought to their right conclusion, when the plan is complete from now on. All right? That's what we're looking at. Now, you grown-ups are thinking, this is a really weird topic for Kids Sunday, right? I mean, we're talking about Jesus' return and heaven and judgment and like all these revelation things on a Kids Sunday. Couldn't we just talk about obeying your parents? You know, can't we just focus on that? Well, it shouldn't be weird. It shouldn't be weird. Many Christians, I think, when it comes to end time stuff, fall into one of two categories. Not all, but many. We'll fall into one of two camps. Some people, when it comes to end times, some Christians get real hyper-focused on studying this, even just kind of buried under the details and all the imaginative possibilities of what might be going on. And there's good stuff out there to study, and it's an important topic. I just said that. But there's a lot of bad stuff and wrong stuff out there, too. We can get buried and into the weeds with some of these things. And so we should be careful not to become so preoccupied to the exclusion of living with Jesus and for Jesus today. All right, we should study all of Scripture. This is included. And that brings me to the second camp, which a lot of people fall into when talking about end times. They think, well, I don't understand any of it. Some of it just comes across so weird to me. All these images and analogies and pictures of what's going to happen. I don't know, is that literal? Is that representing something? They figure, you know what, God's going to do what he's going to do whether I know about it or not. And so they kind of shy away. A big, big, big group of Christians just shy away from really getting to know what this is all about. But guys, that's blown off such a huge part of Scripture. Old Testament, New Testament, Jesus teaching in all four Gospels, the whole last letter of the Bible, the last thing Jesus wanted you to read in his word and know and hang on to. And so we want to avoid both of those extremes, you know. We want to make sure what we're learning is good and it's applicable to our relationship with Jesus now. And so what we're going to do, we're not going to get into the weeds today. We're going to look at three certainties at the consummation of history. This is the backside of your program. You thought you were done, and then there's a whole other page. Well, here we go. We're going to look at three certainties at the consummation of history, and we're going to talk about how these important truths can be applicable to us right now today. All right? So let's go through them. The first one is this. We know from Jesus' teachings, Jesus will visibly return in power and glory. So you want to write down that Jesus returns visibly in power and glory. And let's start by looking at Jesus' words on this. He reads, and you can help me out a little bit with the yellow print here, in Matthew 24. I keep having to be very careful with this alligator tail. I know I'm eventually going to do that. All right. This is what Jesus said when he's talking about his return here and the end times. He says, then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the people of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That's why we say that. Those are Jesus' words. That's Jesus' promise of what he's going to do. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect, that's the people that belong to Jesus, from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. So Jesus promised, I am coming back with great power and glory, and the whole world will see when I return. They'll all witness it, everybody on the earth. A little over a month after Jesus arose from the dead, he was showing his resurrected body to his disciples. He was teaching them about the kingdom, giving them the great commission we read. And then one day he ascended. It was a little over a month later. He ascended into heaven right before their eyes. He began to fly up and disappear out of human sight. It was amazing. And the disciples are looking. They're like, what in the world just happened? And these angels show up, and this is what they say. They remind them of Jesus' promise. They say, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking at the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way, in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. Jesus promised to come back and get his followers to be with him. He said, I'm going to gather them from the four winds, from one side to the other. We took a really good look at that last week. Randy was teaching about this topic. And so if you want a great teaching about what happens to the believer at that time and how it impacts us then and today, go back and check out that podcast. For today, when we reflect on Jesus' second coming, when we talk about it with our families, we want to remind each other and encourage each other that Jesus keeps his promises. That's the big takeaway that at least that we'll look at today. That Jesus keeps his promises. Just as God kept his promise that he made to Abraham in Jesus 2,000 years ago, Jesus' promise is 100% trustworthy now. You want to fill that in. That's our takeaway from this today. Jesus' promises are 100% trustworthy. He wins. He comes back for his people. We can look forward to this. In this life right now, we might face lots of things that leave us with a sense of uncertainty. Maybe some anxiety of what's going to happen next, what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen next week. But we can be certain about how it all wraps up. We can be certain on that. We can have confidence to live today knowing that if you belong to Jesus, it ends well. He is coming back. In fact, that leads to our second certainty, how it ends well for believers, not for everybody, but for those who follow Jesus. The second certainty at the consummation of history, Jesus judges humanity. Jesus judges humanity. Here's how Jesus taught it. Again, we're looking back at the Gospels, and in Matthew 25, Jesus says it this way, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, so this is what we just read from Jesus before, he says he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he'll separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And so at the after Jesus has returned, we see that in this passage in Jesus' teaching that there's going to be a time of separating and judgment, people who belong to Jesus and people who don't belong to Jesus. There's lots of great passages about this time in Scripture. There's things in the Old Testament, like in Daniel 7, Isaiah 2. The Apostle John, of course, is writing about it in Revelation. We're going to look at that next here. So Jesus gave this revelation to John about when this is going to happen. And John has gone through, and toward the end of Revelation, Jesus has just returned, and this is what John was told to write. It says, they, and he's speaking about Christians now, Christians who've died, it says that they came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. When the 1,000 years are over, I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. Books were opened, and each person was judged according to what they had done. Those books are the records. They represent the records of what every person has done. And so, right here and right now, we see bad things happening to good people. We see bad people get away with bad stuff. And we think, oh man, why is that allowed to happen? Now, of course, we should stand against that. As the body of Christ, we should stand against injustice. We should stand against, stand up for what's right and what's truthful. That's part of our job here on this earth. But even when we feel like bad people are getting away with it and we see that around us, remember what's coming and be encouraged that God is a righteous judge, that he will set everything right. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. He's going to deal with every person and everything every person has ever done or said or thought is going to be wrapped up correctly and appropriately. Nothing, even if somebody gets away with something and pulls the wool over my eyes and tricks me, they don't trick our God. And we can trust in that justice. The takeaway here is that Jesus will set everything right. Everything's not right in this world, And sometimes when we're sitting around the dinner table, we might be crying about something. We might be sad or scared of something going on. And it's important to remember that our God is going to set everything right. That's a promise guaranteed by Jesus himself who arose from the dead, proving that he's 100% trustworthy. And those who belong to Jesus are going to find forgiveness. And even more, we're going to get to work with him in leading this world. Did you catch that reigning over the world for 1,000 years? When God first created people, remember our job? One of our jobs was to rule over his creation. And when Jesus returns to earth, it says he leads us in doing just that, what he originally intended, leading and healing the earth for 1,000 years. And then he brings about his perfect justice and completion. But it gets even better. One last certainty that we're going to look at today. There's a lot of certainties. These are the three we're looking at, all right? Number three here, God recreates the universe to live with his people forever. God recreates the universe to live with his people forever. Look at what Revelation teaches. After this 1,000-year period of Jesus reigning on the earth with his people, bringing healing to the land and dealing with all the appropriate judgments, sorting the people that belong to him and the people that don't. And then look what happens with the believers. Look where we get to go for all eternity. It reads here, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a beautiful bride dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them.'" And it goes on, "They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things, the broken order that sin and chaos brought in, that has passed away." Praise God. Praise God for this finale, this consummation. Remember, consummation, the point at which something is complete and finalized. And here it is. Here we see all history complete for all eternity. And those who belong to Jesus, for them it's wonderful. No more tears, no more pain, no more loneliness. If you've been lonely, no more fear, anxiety, distress, sickness, death, you name it, all gone. And you know what? That's just getting rid of the bad stuff. That's not even talking about the good stuff. The good stuff that's there in heaven. God is restoring everything that our sin messed up. But the best part is that God is going to be there with us in a way we've never experienced before. God himself living among us. I saw a TV show a couple years ago now, that was depicting heaven. But the difference between the show and what the Bible teaches is there wasn't any God. There was a heaven, but there was no God. That's not true, just for the kids listening. Like, Pastor Chris said, no, this is what this show said, and they got it wrong. They weren't following the Bible. But I want to talk about it for a second because there's a very important contrast here. So in the show, people could do whatever they want when they got to heaven. They had maximum happiness all the time. They just felt super happy all the time, okay? And after millions and millions of years spent out in this heaven, doing whatever they want, feeling however they want, they all became bored of happiness. They got sick of it. They did everything. And so the finale of this show, in this show, people in heaven chose to just stop existing. That's how the show ended. Basically, once you've done it all, you just choose to end and you cease to exist. It was supposed to be a happy ending on the show. Like, the show treated it like, oh, this is a nice, appropriate, happy conclusion. I thought, how depressing. How horrible. This is a train wreck at the end of this show. The best that you could come up with without God is to just quit existing after you've lived your happiness the best you can. But they got that right, that without God, that's the deal. I'm so thankful God is real. I'm so thankful they got heaven wrong in that show. Because you see, all the stuff, even the great gifts that God gives us, and he gives us so many great gifts, they can give us joy for a time, but nothing will ultimately and forever satisfy and fulfill us. No thing can do that. In fact, no one else can do that, not even another person. You say, well, I get to be with family. Well, these people were with family in that show. But eventually, a million years with my family, sorry, Mom, my mom's visiting today. Whew, okay, I got in trouble. I got to turn this ship around. No. For them, that was the end. But with God, here's the thing. He's what makes heaven awesome. He's what makes heaven awesome forever and ever. He's infinite. There's always going to be an increasing love and excitement to get to know God better and more. We're never going to run out of pursuing that relationship and wanting it and feeling it and growing in it with God. It's never going to happen that we're going to be like, yep, I learned enough about him. No, we're going to constantly be going further on and further up in our relationship with God. And so our takeaway about God recreating the universe to live with us forever is that life with God keeps getting awesomer. It's Kids Sunday. I'm allowed to use a word that doesn't exist. To make a point that's very true. Yeah, life with God keeps getting awesomer. When we go through rough days, even weeks, months, or years, we can cherish these three certainties as something to look forward to. That's for sure. Our Lord is trustworthy. He'll set everything right. And life with him just keeps getting better and better. But you know what's wonderful is all of that begins right now. Jesus is 100% trustworthy right now. And trust yourself to him today. Maybe for the first time, you turn away from your sin and rebellion against God and trust in Jesus' payment on the cross so that he would save you from that and bring you into a relationship with God that starts now. Maybe you've done that a long time, but there's something else in your life you need to turn over and trust to your Lord Jesus. Do it today. Don't just look forward to this particular awesome promise. Trust Jesus 100%. He is 100% trustworthy today. This relationship with God that keeps getting awesomer and awesomer, you don't have to wait for that to happen. Yeah, that's going to be a new, can't even see it coming how great that's going to be. But right now, grow in your relationship with God today. studying his word together as a family and by yourself, praying together and by yourself to the Lord, calling out to him and growing in that relationship. We're going to end our service here in just a moment with one more song from the kids. You guys want to do one more song praising our great God? All right. So in just a minute, I'm going to pray first. Don't rush the stage here. All right, you'll topple me over. But we're gonna close in prayer. But I want to say a couple of things. We're going to dedicate our offering here in a minute. But if you're interested in going into that great relationship with God, the one that will just keep getting better and better, this side of heaven and then, out of control, better and better on the other side. If you're interested in that and you'd like to talk and pray with somebody, our pastoral prayer team is going to be down here after we sing this last song, Praising Our Great God. And they love to talk with you and pray with you. But you can call out to God right now. You can call out to God. If you'd like to talk with somebody, please do. But you can also call out to God and entrust yourself to him. Entrust yourself to Jesus this morning. Get into that relationship that just keeps getting awesomer and awesomer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this great VBS. I thank you for all the leaders, volunteers that you've equipped here at this church. I mean, I think it was like 50, 60 people, probably even more. That's probably a low ball. All these people, you've put it on their heart to work with the kids. You've equipped them by your Holy Spirit to do so, adults and teenagers alike, and I thank you so much for that. Lord, so many good things and blessings we enjoy, but nothing is better than you. You are the biggest joy, the biggest blessing, infinite and complete. And Lord, I pray every person in this room would have a relationship with Jesus. Whether they already do, I pray they would draw closer, or if somebody needs to trust in Jesus today for the first time, I pray he or she would now, that he or she would get into that relationship now. We love you and thank you for Jesus. We dedicate the offerings this week to you. It's not a way to pay you back. It's an act of worship and thanksgiving. But Lord, I pray that your kingdom would advance with every penny. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.